Chapter 4 and verse 14, the Apostle Paul uses a nautical metaphor, and I want to talk about another nautical metaphor that's used in the book of Hebrews, and that is of an anchor. And the question this morning is your anchor in heaven? Let's begin by turning our Bibles over to Hebrews chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. This is our text for the lesson this morning. Hebrews chapter 6. And we'll read verse 19, Hebrews 6 and verse 19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters behind the veil. And so we're talking about an anchor. And what is an anchor? An anchor is an object that's dropped from a boat to the bottom of a body of water to keep the vessel in place. In a figurative sense, it is something that gives stability and security. And so that which gives us stability and security in our life, that is our anchor. So speaking now is life from a nautical metaphor. Life is like being at sea in a boat. We need an anchor for our boat, our life, so that we have peace and tranquility and steadfastness and endure the storms of life. Rather than anchoring our boat or our life to this world, it is anchored to heaven. It is anchored to heaven where there is true stability and security. Now, I want to try to explain this nautical metaphor a little bit. There are a lot of metaphors in the Bible. Some are athletic, some are military. And so we need to know something about athletics, we need to know something about the military, and we need to know something about a boat and an anchor to understand what's being expressed here. We need to understand something about the technique of anchoring a boat. First of all, and this is critical in understanding this, first of all, you put your boat over the place where you want your anchor to be. Now, don't forget that. We'll talk about it a little bit more in a minute. You put your boat over the place where you want your anchor to be. And then you lower your anchor to the bottom of the sea. And so the illustration here, here's the boat, and the boat drops down the anchor. Now, what you do is you take your boat and you move it back at least four times the depth of the water you are in. And to get the most stable hold of your anchor, you may go back 10 times as far. So if you were in 100 feet of water, you would back your boat down to let out 400 feet of road. That's what the rope, R-O-P-E, is called, is road, R-O-D-E. So you would go 400 feet or as long as 1,000 feet back so that you have stable hold of your anchor. Now, this is the problem. We are not in heaven to drop our anchor there. So it's impossible for us to drop our anchor in heaven, and we need help to do that. The solution is Jesus Christ. You see, without Jesus, our anchor would be on this earth, or you could take it a little bit further, our anchor would be in hell. Because we cannot get to heaven to drop our anchor. And so we need someone to take our anchor from our boat and now to take it into heaven and deliver it there for us. Hebrews chapter 6. Now let's read verses 19 and 20 together. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which endures, which enters within the veil, where Christ has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. So figuratively, and all this lesson is going to be figurative. Figuratively speaking, Jesus Christ is our forerunner. He has gone before us. He has gone to the place where we cannot go, and he has taken our anchor. And he has set our anchor there behind the veil. Now this metaphor was extremely important to early Christians, to those who were suffering great persecution, to those who were witnessing their family endure severe torture, of those who knew that at any time their life could be required and they were ready to give their life up any moment. It could be that night that soldiers would come in and drag them off, never to see their family again. And they would pay the ultimate price in this life, and that is death. Here is an epitaph of one who is buried in the catacombs of St. Sebastian on the Appian Way. And with this, there is an anchor and there is a fish. The anchor was extremely important to the Christians, as it is this figure, this metaphor from the Bible. It was comforting for those being persecuted who could be called to give their life at any time. And the fish also, we've talked about this, I've written about that, was very comforting also, because to them it showed a number of things, but one was that there is life in the water. And that water is baptism. When one is baptized into Christ, then he has this anchor of the soul upon which he has this steadfastness, this tranquility, this peace in his life, although life may be very difficult. We do not set our anchor in heaven. Jesus sets it there for us. And if you can picture this in your mind, and Jesus is there in heaven making sure that the anchor remains steadfast. You can imagine, and maybe you've been out on boats and the anchor gives way and your boat begins to drift. You know, I was out on a boat one time. We were out in the Atlantic and we were not far from shore. And the waves were not real high, but moderately high. And I looked toward the shore and I noticed we were getting closer and closer to shore. And I told the fellow who owned the boat, I said, "Look, we're getting closer to shore. We're drifting." The anchor was not holding, and pretty soon we were going to be in peril of running aground in the boat. You see, but Jesus is in heaven. Not only has he planted our anchor there for us, but Jesus is there making sure that it stays, that it's steadfast, that we do not drift. Jesus is there in heaven, making sure our anchor is holding. Now I want to talk for just a few moments from the book of Hebrews. How does Jesus do this? And I want us to renew our appreciation for what Jesus has done. And I want to start in Hebrews chapter 2 and verses 14 through 18. You see, for Jesus to be our forerunner and to go into heaven in advance of our arrival, then he had to be made in the flesh. He had to become flesh. And Paul in this portion talks about this. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Now take this metaphor of the anchor. You know, we, because of sin, we planted our anchor in hell. We planted it upon the earth. The earth will be destroyed. And so we have no hope of eternal life. So Jesus, to take our anchor, our fleshly anchor, he had to become flesh. And notice what else it says. Verse 15. The end of verse 14, render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. For assuredly, he does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Now notice that Jesus had to make propitiation. And to do that, he, we'll talk about in a moment, he had to die upon the cross. He had to sacrifice himself so that he could take our anchor from earth and he could put it in heaven. He had to become flesh and live upon the earth so that he could do this. Now turn over to chapter 9 with me. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11. Now here upon the earth, Jesus Christ had to sacrifice himself and shed his blood, as we've already remembered this morning. But when Christ appeared as a high priest for the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of his creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood he entered the holy place. Now I want you to remember, from chapter 6, our anchor is planted behind the veil. That is in the holies of holies, the most holy place where God himself, the presence of God is. Now for Jesus, here living upon the earth in the flesh, to gain access to this place, he had to sacrifice himself upon the cross and shed his blood so that he could enter now into the holy of holies, the holy place in the heavenly tabernacle. Now to enter that place, he had to shed his blood so that he could enter through it, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his very own blood. And there he can plant our anchor. In the holy place, in the presence of God, he plants our anchor. Let's move on to chapter 6 now. Chapter 6. But Jesus, verses 19 and 20. Jesus now in heaven, as our forerunner, the one who went before us, that he sets our anchor in this holy place, behind the veil. And I want you now to look at what is this anchor. Not physical. We don't physically have an anchor. But now look at chapter 6 and the end. Well, let's begin at the beginning of verse 18. So that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have is an anchor. So what is our anchor? Our anchor is our hope. Now, go to chapter 10 and verse 19. Chapter 10 and verse 19. It is possible that our hope is the anchor that holds us steadfast because of what Jesus has done. Chapter 10, beginning in verse 19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Now remember, this is where our anchor is. We are not there yet. It is where we are going. In just a moment, we'll extend the metaphor. We have this confidence. Why do we have the confidence? Why is it we have the confidence of our anchor in the most holy place, in the presence of God, the heavenly sanctuary? Verse 20, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated. That is, Jesus went first. Jesus paved the way for us through the veil. Remember, that's what we're talking about. Through the veil, where our anchor is planted, that is his flesh. Through the veil, that is his flesh. Now, that does not mean that the veil is his flesh. That does not mean that. That means he paved the way. He was able to inaugurate this through his flesh, through living in the flesh and sacrificing his body, spilling his blood, and then with his blood entering into the holy place. It's because of what he did that we have this confidence, sure and steadfast, unwavering that we will be in the presence of God in heaven for eternity. Verse 19. Verse 22. Let us draw near with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And what do you sprinkle something with? With blood. Having been sprinkled, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Having our bodies washed with pure water. Then verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Our hope is our anchor. Our confession is my hope. My anchor is in heaven. That is my confidence. Not because of myself, but because my Lord came to this earth in the flesh. Preached the gospel, lived a perfect, sinless life. Now is my high priest, having been tempted in all ways as I am. He is now behind the veil where my anchor is. And I believe with all my heart, one day I will be there too. So let us draw near. Let us draw near with a sincere heart. And let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Now, I won't talk about verses 24 and 25 this morning, but you see how that ties into our assembling together. As we worship and as we encourage, what are we encouraging? What are we stimulating? One another. In what regard? That you too will be with God in the holy place, the heavenly tabernacle where your anchor is. That is your hope. When we obey the gospel and we are washed in the blood of the Lamb, we have this hope. Turn your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And Paul talks about this hope. And the first point is from verses 3 through 5. This hope, which is our anchor, the anchor of our soul, steadfast, sure, unmovable. This hope does not disappoint. Once Jesus Christ has planted our anchor in heaven, that hope does not disappoint. Of course, unless we turn away from God and our anchor is removed. Notice what the Apostle Paul says in verse 3, verses 3 through 5. And not only this, but we also exalt or rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope, and hope does not disappoint. You see, this is our anchor, and this anchor does not disappoint. As long as we are faithful to God, we know that this is where we will be for eternity in the most holy place in the heavenly tabernacle with God. Because Jesus Christ, our forerunner, who shed his blood and entered there, first of all, has planted our hope, which is our anchor. Now go down to verse 6. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled. What Paul is saying is this hope does not disappoint. This anchor is not going to be removed by anything unless it be your sin that you turn away from God and refuse to repent. This hope does not disappoint. And if you've been obedient to Jesus Christ, you know that he has planted your anchor there. And you know with all of your heart that one day you will be there also. Now I want to talk about this metaphor just a little bit more. Yeah, you know, when you're out on a boat and you start to pull in your anchor. Now, unless you have a windlass that operates off of a motor, remember, that's very hard to do. You can watch people who strain to pull in that anchor. And it's very, very difficult to do with a small boat, much less a boat the size of this. It may be impossible in some situations. But when you do this, besides the fact that it's strenuous, it's very difficult work, as you pull in your anchor, your boat moves toward your anchor. And eventually, unless the anchor gives way, you'll come up, you'll be just about just right on top of your anchor right there. And so as you pull in your anchor, your boat is moving toward your anchor. Now, this is life. Life is a journey of pulling in your anchor. If your anchor is planted in hell, life is a journey of pulling in your anchor, and when life is over, that's where you'll be. But you see, our hope is different. Our hope, our confidence, is that our anchor is in heaven, and we're working very hard, and it's strenuous, and it's difficult sometimes. Sometimes the sea is contrary and the wind is contrary, and it's making it very difficult, but our task in life is to pull in that anchor. More so than that, our task is pull your boat to where your anchor is, because our anchor never gives way. It never gives way. And at the time when we close our eyes in death, our boat will be where our anchor is. As Christians, we are confident that place is going to be with the Lord. Look once again with me to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18, and look at the end of the verse. And Paul says that this hope, he says that it is set before us. It's set before us. That this hope, it's set before you. There it is, right there. You have your hope before you. You have your anchor before you. He says something similar in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. He's saying that we have this race that is set before us, and we are to run this race. And at the end of the race is Jesus Christ, who is the author of our faith. And he is waiting there for us to get to the finish line, and there we will receive this reward. Well, this is a different metaphor. You pull in your anchor. You pull it in throughout your life. You know that Jesus Christ has it firmly established in heaven, that he is there personally in the holy place, in the heavenly tabernacle, personally making sure that it does not give hold. And when you pull it in all the way, guess where you're going to be? You're going to be right there where Jesus is with your anchor. It is set before us, and it is set before you this morning as a Christian. Pull your boat to your anchor. That's our journey in life. In the end, we will be there. So we're going to extend the gospel invitation. If you'd like to get your songbooks out, and number 330, Just As I Am. This is a fact. Everyone here is pulling in their anchor. Everybody is pulling on that rope, and your anchor is attached to it. The question is, where is your anchor this morning? Where is your anchor? We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If you're not a Christian this morning, your anchor, you could say, well, it's upon the earth or it's in hell, just figuratively speaking, and you're pulling it in. That's where you're headed. If you're not a Christian this morning, why don't you let Jesus move it for you? Why don't you let Jesus take your anchor and move it for you, and to plant that anchor for you in heaven? It'd be a funny thing, you know. You take an anchor and you move it, the boat automatically swings around a different direction. You know that? It swings around a different direction. So your boat will be headed in a different direction immediately upon obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, because as the Lord has commanded, you've repented of your sins. You've turned. And as you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be sprinkled with his blood, to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, your anchor is planted in heaven. And you can have confidence. That's where your hope is. And you'll know when your life is over, that's where your boat will be. It will be in heaven with the Lord. If you need to respond to the gospel this morning, why don't you do it just as you are? Come to the front, if you would, please, as we sing.